I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a dramatic night for Rangers in Europe. For a 0-0, it had it all: red card, VAR drama, penalty save, and ultimately a tie very much alive heading to Bilbao next week. Brendan Rodgers says Celtic need freshness, or it's the manager that will pay the price. The Premiership could be won this weekend, so could the Championship, and the top and bottom six will be finalised. What a treat we have in store, and all starts tonight in the company of Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
First of all, Rangers' performance last night, outstanding. It was brave, it was resilient. They took a chance on a European novice in goal in Liam Kelly, and he was the star of the show. Now Rangers face one of the weekend's cup finals. 12:30 tomorrow, Celtic Park. Brendan Rodgers, seriously not impressed by his team at the moment. And they have to win against Kilmarnock, or the manager, I think, will have the toys out of the pram. And then Motherwell Hearts, another cup final at Fir Park, to determine whether Hearts automatically make the top six by virtue of beating Motherwell, or if Motherwell complicate matters. Great weekend in store, and of course, Rangers go to Aberdeen on Sunday. The sequence is Celtic win, Rangers lose, Celtic are the title holders. We'll see what happens.
A gritty and spirited performance last night, as you touched on, outstanding against all odds, obviously down to 10 men for the majority of the game against Spain's fourth best team currently. So I think Rangers fans will be absolutely delighted. Keeps their Europa League dream alive, and onto this weekend in terms of the SPFL. So much to play for. Three teams still vying for top six, and can't wait. Really looking forward to it.
It is all happening. Very rare we get these nights where we've got as much to look back on as we do to look forward to. So get your calls in right now, please. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, what did you make of last night? For a 0-0, there is a lot to get through. Overall, just how pleased were you with that bravery, determination that the guys speak about? Getting the clean sheet, getting the draw, keeping the tie alive. How alive is it? How confident are you of going through from here? What about the game itself? The red card decision, the handball decision, the team selection decisions that Barry Ferguson made, Liam Kelly's role in it. It really was a game full of talking points. So let's go through as much of it as we can. Quite simply, what did you make of last night, Rangers fans? What jumped out for you, and how does it set you up for next week? Give us a call right now if you can, and we'll get stuck straight into that nice and early. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, this was amongst the weekends that you were supposed to be able to win the title. Technically you can, but Brendan Rodgers, he seems frustrated that there's not a chance to do it off Celtic's own back in front of a home crowd there at Celtic Park. And quite strong words today. It would have been quite easy for him, I suppose, to coast in and know that the title's just around the corner, and maybe even a treble. But he has picked his words carefully, as he always does, talking about the team needing freshness, or it's the manager that will pay the price. So how are you feeling ahead of this weekend? 0141 951 1025. All to play for top six. The Championship, there's a similar scenario with the Premiership. So if Falkirk win tonight, but then waiting to see what happens in the other games tomorrow. And if Livy don't get the result they're looking for, Falkirk would be champions. So there's so much going on. Let's do it all together. 0141 951 1025. Bit of a turbulent week for you, Scott Allen. Kelty, Charlie Mulgrew is obviously well-known figure across Scottish football, been in the show many times, 11 games I think, and now no longer your manager.
Yeah, obviously took the decision to resign on Tuesday. I think if you look at the performances, ultimately it just hasn't been good enough for one reason or another. But in terms of myself, we've obviously got four games left. The run we've been on, we really need to put a stop to that, try and put some wins together, at least pick up make the losses turn into draws, and try and get some cohesion about the team, because it's not been a good couple of months. And in terms of Charlie, it was his first job. There'll be a lot of learning for him and amongst that, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does next.
Yeah, big weekend across the divisions, of course, much of the focus on our Premiership and the Europa League last night. So come on, Rangers fans, what did you make of it? How confident are you of progression from here? Who stood up? Who was counted? I don't suppose there'd be many that didn't impress you, but if there were, then we're here for that as well. Big decisions made by Barry Ferguson, red card decisions to debate, penalty decisions to debate. Where else would you rather be on a Friday night? I like to think you've got us on in the sunshine as well. So give us a call right now, please, so we can get stuck into it. Here is what Barry Ferguson made of it. He says he was proud of the effort and says it's a totally different feeling to the one that he experienced at the end of the Hibs game at the weekend.
Really proud of the effort and the commitment that my players showed tonight. Obviously difficult when you go down to 10 men. You have to go and play two banks of four really deep. But I thought the game plan that I gave them, they worked ever so hard to make sure that it never got broken down. They had a couple of chances, like every very good team's going to have against you, but I thought we defended really well and we coped with their threat. Yeah, I'm not happy we won game. Listen, I'm delighted for them and I'm proud of them. Standing on the touchline was a total different feeling I had from Saturday. I felt empty on Saturday, the last 10, 15 minutes, just like the stadium. But standing there at the side, I was proud of them, and that's the way I need to feel, and that's the performances and the effort that this group of players need to put in. And I've told them, if you do that, you have better chances of winning games of football. And as I said, that's what I asked, and that's what I got tonight, and that's what I need to see going forward.
I think the thing that struck us all, Hugh, going through this week, building up to kick-off, is that Rangers fans probably would have taken a 0-0 draw,
sure,
with 11 men. So if you then do that when you were down to 10 for probably, was it over 90 minutes in the end,
yeah, yeah,
the additional time, then you go down to 9 men towards the end and you concede a penalty. That's why it feels like a win for Rangers fans, is it not?
No wonder you can't work them out. I remember Barry's words immediately after the Hibs game where he said, that's not a Rangers team. And 5 days later, they're taking the fourth team in La Liga and giving them a fright with 9 men as time up approached. So it was a sensational performance. The tie is very much alive. And I don't care about the Basque country. I don't care about fourth place in La Liga. Athletic Bilbao are not a certainty to make the semi-final.
Listen, Rangers came up against real adversity last night, obviously. The sending off for me as a sending off, just to, from my point of view, I just felt after that, formations and that then kind of go out the window in terms of what you're trying to create in attacking sense. It then becomes about individual battles and players just having a willingness to run for each other and make it as difficult for the opponent as possible. And I felt to a man, guys that came on, every Rangers player can hold their heads up high. Last night was a fantastic team performance. And listen, it gives them a real fighting chance, obviously, going over to Bilbao for the return leg. And listen, I wasn't hugely impressed with them last night at the same time. And I feel Rangers, if they get it right going over there, there will be chances to go and win that game.
I know it's a natural place to start, but I listened to the programme Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Jack Butland. The manager, interim manager, showed bravery, yeah, because he left Butland out with people saying, well, you know, if you leave him out and lose, that's your fault. Or if you leave him in and you lose, that's your fault as well. But he made the right call and Liam Kelly came through for him, yeah, big time.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, Scott, the way that we are looking at it this week was everybody keeps waiting on it being a step too far for Rangers. Everybody keeps waiting on the domestic form not carrying on into Europe, but that they can't constantly keep defying it the way that they have. But it just feels like, as good as last night was, this is going to sound quite negative, it's not meant to be, we've actually been here before loads of times,
yep.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we had this kind of feeling the Friday night after Fenerbahce,
yep,
we've done this before. So how it transpires from here, who knows? But also, if it keeps you going through in Europe in a way, who cares? Because Rangers knew that the domestic season was done, so can they keep doing this and go even further?
I think they can. I think last night, if you look at it, I think leading into this game, looking at Athletic Club, some of the players they possessed in attacking areas, you would have felt that would have been the game that Rangers' defence would have been stretched a lot more than than what was shown last night. But ultimately that comes down to mentality of the Rangers players. The sending off does give you that siege mentality. We go, we need to dig in here, and it does take away in terms of an attacking sense. You aren't looking for as much more unless it's a breakaway. I just felt every man, that substitutes included, they stepped up. Obviously Barry Ferguson making the decision to play Liam Kelly. Listen, the easiest thing for him to do last night is to play Jack Butland. Yes, he's had mistakes, but you only have to look to Istanbul away to Fenerbahce, and he was part of the reason why Rangers obviously came through that night with a 3-1 win. So listen, he made the big call, and the big call paid off for him.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025, that is the number that you need. Give us a call. Finlay's first through. How are you, Finlay?
Hi there, I'm great, how are you?
Good, thank you. What did you make of last night then?
So I thought it was an interesting one. I thought proper sending off, in my head anyway, it was completely killed it. I think it was going to be 3, 4, 5 maybe. Yeah. But I just wanted to talk about the rest of the team, especially Anis Hadji. I thought, watching Hadji recently, there's not much, I don't know, he's not got it in him, he's not got the pace to go and attack. When he was playing deeper last night, I thought he was absolutely exceptional. I was looking on Twitter, it was comparisons to Kante and all that, obviously not that level, but yeah, I just thought maybe could explore an option of him playing maybe a wee bit deeper if he has that desire to.
Yeah, look, Scott, it was never going to be the headline change. How could you look past the goalkeeper, as Hugh says, because you debate it all week? I think the next biggest call clearly was putting an 18-year-old in and so on. But in there was that, you know, Iggyman's popular amongst the Rangers fans, but Barry Ferguson decided those two can't coexist at the moment, so he comes out, Hadji goes in. What did you make of him? Finlay was impressed.
Yeah, it's like I touched on in the previous thing that I said, in terms of when it then becomes about a game where you're not getting asked too much in terms of offensively, you then have to do a job for the team. He, for me, the type of player is, he's one that you'd maybe expect not to do the yards as much as your Raskans, guys like that. But listen, it's not the first time I've seen him do that. I've seen him do it against Celtic in the cup final when he came back in and showed a real gritty work ethic. And
do you think he added that in that time out of the team due to the contract dispute? I don't really remember it before, but as you say, I don't think last night was the first time.
No, it wasn't the first time, but I think when you have that little lull where you're out the team, you have a bit of self-reflection. Where can I add to my game to become a better player? I think he's definitely added that, especially in the bigger games. His work ethic cannot be questioned. I think in terms of him, a deeper position, listen, his traits are, you want him at the edge of the box looking to find killer passes and get shots away. What he did show is he showed a bit of composure. He can't, but that comes from how he plays in the number 10 there's positions. But
there's an overhaul
outstanding.
Overhaul coming in the summertime, personnel wise, and it has to be established whether Yanis Hadji wants to stay at Rangers, whether it is possible to keep him at Rangers, and that will be one of Andrew Cavanagh's first big calls. Yeah.
What's the overall feeling, Finlay? You've picked out a specific and it's a good one. What's the kind of overall feeling about how good the result was and what chance you've got of progressing from here?
So, walking away from the game last night, great feeling, almost felt like a win, obviously, given the circumstances. But going over to Bilbao, I mean, people say about the waveform, I've still got it in the back of my mind. I think it's going to be a really hard game. They're, what, the third best team in Spain? I'm 50-50, to be honest. I'd love to back my stronger side and say, yes, Thursday night Rangers will go and do it. But it's a tough team. I think Diamandi and Suter being back is a big plus. That is what's keeping it alive for me, anyway.
Is there home form, Finlay? You know, they've only lost one La Liga game at home all season. That was to Atletico Madrid, and that was last August. And they have not been beaten in any of their home games in Europe. So that's the task in front of Rangers.
But that's okay, isn't it, Scott? That's what we've said. Like, you can't have it two ways. You can't say all week that Rangers are bang up against it and you would take simply staying in the tie. You've then definitely stayed in the tie with 10 men. So it's okay for it to be 50-50 is good, if that's the way Finlay describes it. By the way, even if you think it's 60-40 in Bilbao's favour, I think that's okay. I think that's a good position to be in.
Yeah, as I said, they had real adversity in the game last night. Obviously 12 minute proper gets sent off. Then you find out about your team, and I think Barry Ferguson did find out about some of the players last night, and that'll be part of the frustration in terms of domestic games. But looking ahead to to be about us. And Rangers have went to hard places and won games in Europe, so listen, I think they'll be confident. Listen, it will be a hard tie. There's no getting away from that. But Rangers set up away from home has caused some of these teams who you'd expect to go and dominate Rangers, caused them problems.
Finlay, the big choice in goal, obviously. What did you make of that one?
So I was thinking that maybe the choice would be good, but I thought the timing and the being the next fixture, being the Bilbao game, was maybe a bit too much. Before the game, I would have kept Jack Butland in goal. But I think, I mean, it's clearly worked out very well. Liam Kelly's a very competent goalkeeper. We saw him with Motherwell. I don't know if he's quite Rangers number one level, but he proved he's got a case for it last night, 100%.
Well, he had some night.
He's proved a lot of people wrong, including myself.
Absolutely, fair enough. It doesn't, you know, Hugh Evans will tell you it's hard to constantly get things wrong and come on here and hold your hands up.
What a cheek. The man who said that Rangers would make a European final, and you all
laugh. Just need to wait. You might be right, but we'll need to wait and see. We'll hear from Liam Kelly and more of your calls when we return.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheese steaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Scott Allen are here. 0141 951 1025 is the number. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Of course, we're starting by looking back on events at Ibrox last night, but there is a heck of a lot to get through across the weekend in Scottish football as well. So do get all your thoughts in if you can. Send us a tweet. Craig is next up on the line. How are you, Craig?
Well, that was quite Gordon. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, just a couple of main points about last night. I thought Liam Kelly was sensational. I think it was completely the right call. I heard the last caller was saying he was unsure. But I'm very pleased that Barry, you know, went by what he said on Saturday. So there was many big changes. And I thought he made probably the team I would have went with. I think I would have went with Eggerman, but who am I to criticise, you know, a football manager? But yeah, I thought Liam Kelly was exceptional. And I do agree he's probably not the Rangers' number one goalkeeper going forward in terms of next season. But I think for me it's his jersey to lose now, because Jack Butland, I don't know what happens. I mean, obviously you can say, well, Butland maybe saves that penalty like he did in the shootout against Fenerbahce, etc. But for me, Liam Kelly, you know, the Celtic game at the new year, he was very composed in that game as well. So I wouldn't be adverse to seeing Liam Kelly staying on goal for the rest of the season. I've got another point.
Let's put that one to the panel to see if they agree. Do you think is that him in now?
Yeah, it should be. Why on earth would you change the goalkeeper now after a performance like that? In a wider sense, if we accept that Barry Ferguson is doing an audition for the job and Andrew Kavanagh is watching from afar, then if I were Andrew Kavanagh, I'd be saying, right, huge occasion, off the back of a dire performance, but he made the big call to fit the huge occasion, and he got the big call right. So I think it's great for Liam Kelly, but also great for Barry Ferguson, because under pressure, he made the big call, and he was correct.
I think on that front, Scott, we'll just need to wait and see. It might be that actually Barry Ferguson can't win himself this job. You know, the owners just say, you know, have a completely different idea. It's also hard to ignore Hibs and Motherwell because they've happened. But the one thing that's absolutely clear is he hasn't shied away from what Hugh's talking about, big decisions. Because you can't really, that's high risk either way last night, isn't it? You keep Jack Butland in and he makes a mistake, you're absolutely for it. We then had a debate about whether it's any better the other way around. I think it might have been slightly, if Liam Kelly had made a mistake last night, maybe he gets a bit away with it a touch more. But then you're still getting slaughtered from all the people who thought Jack Butland should have stayed in.
Yeah, listen, I'll say it again. Barry Ferguson, the easiest thing for him to do last night is to play Jack Butland. He made a big call, and it's one of many big decisions he has made over his his tenure that he's been in there, and another right one. I think if you take out the domestic stuff in terms of the home games, to play him, to play Bailey Rice in such a big occasion, and then they justify it with the performances he put in, it looks really good for Barry Ferguson and his coaching staff, because I think they are a collective. It's not just Barry Ferguson making these decisions. I think the three of them together have a say in these matters. But for Liam Kelly to come in, yes, he was only, I think Athletic Club had three shots in target. I think he made some smart saves in the first half, but in terms of coming out and taking crosses at moments where you're under a bit of pressure, that's what I really liked about his performance. And then the save from the chance that leads up to the penalty, and then to follow up with the save, it doesn't get any better.
It's just
than that
a great
him.
Story, Hugh. I mean, I know, yeah. Like to Rangers fans and the staff there, they just need it to go right for us. Yeah. For us who are interested in the stories, one of two things needed to happen last night. Liam Kelly needed to have a howler or go and save a penalty. You know, that's the way this story should end in a dramatic sense after the week of debate that we had.
You know, if ever a man was built up for a fall, it was Liam Kelly. Because if Liam comes in, plays badly, drops one in, people say, why did Barry Ferguson put him in? He's a novice. He's only played six or seven times for Rangers in total. But he stepped up to the plate and he justified his manager's faith in him. He should play at Pittodrie on Sunday. There is absolutely no reason why he shouldn't. And also, Thursday night in the Basque Country, he will be in goal then.
He'll stay in for you, Scott,
yes.
As well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
On you go, Craig. Sorry, I just wanted to see if they agreed with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll make it quick, but I thought last night was very reminiscent of Walter Smith in 2008, you know, the run to Manchester, and Barry's basically came out and said that on Saturday. He says, it's not going to be pretty to watch, but I'll get this team winning games. Listen, if they play like that and they get to the final, I don't mind one bit. Just a point on what Hugh said, I think it was you at the start of the show about Bilbao being unbeaten in Europe in a completely different team. I agree with that. But if you cast your mind back to when Rangers went over to Betis, I know Bilbao are probably a bit better than Betis. Betis were unbeaten in about 10 or 11 games at home as well. And I think this Bilbao team have got an awful lot of pressure on them because the final's at their home ground. So they're technically, you know, maybe not the favourites as such, but there's that pressure to reach a final. And, you know, Barry's obviously went to Jose Mourinho's backyard and Celtic and won. So I just think, I don't want to say it's written in the stars, but I think if Rangers, I'm not counting my chickens, maybe I am, but if Rangers get to the final like Hugh's predicted, it looks like, maybe not, because Bodo Glimt might go and upset everybody, but it's looking like it might be Frankfurt or Ange Postecoglou in the final, you know, and that's a script that's written, you know, ready to be written for Rangers, I think.
Well, one game at a time.
Craig's the only guy that's getting further ahead of himself than you. He's only predicting Rangers' outcome. He's got the other games
in
as
there
well.
As well. You know,
good point about them. The pressure being on them being the.
Oh yeah.
That's where the final's going to be played.
It's funny because you can always kind of spin it two ways, and then it develops because all week people have said the fact that the final is at their home is an inspiring aspect for
it
them.
Ought to be.
But now it might actually come with. You know, I wonder what I don't know, I haven't read the Spanish newspapers, unsurprisingly. I wonder what stick they're getting for being the fourth best team in the league and being unable to beat nine men in the end.
I always imagine if you're from one of the top five elite leagues in Europe, then you look down your nose at a country like Scotland, and the reaction of Super Scoreboard Catalunya will be, what? They're miles behind
K.
Celtic in their
I think
it'll
be K, they'll be saying.
No, but I was talking about the expats who are over there. They're saying, what? They're looking at that and thinking, Celtic are winning this league easily. And you can't go there and play 10 men for 90 minutes. So I would imagine they will be getting stick in the Basque country. But the only reason I brought up their record is because you have to take it into account. But Rangers, I think, going there is a different matter from those who have been there before them. And I think Athletic Bilbao are under serious pressure.
Thank you to Craig. He was on the topic very much of the goalkeeping debate, as I'm sure many of you are. Let's hear from Liam Kelly, who says Jack Butland was the first to congratulate him after the game.
just kind of laughing as if to say, my God, what a night. I said to him, that's kind of my, his Fenerbahce was me tonight, do you know what I mean? You get that amazing moment as a goalkeeper. Aye, and he was so pleased with me, and he's such a genuine guy as well. So, aye, big thanks to him. Came Rangers at 8 years old, and then to play in a European quarter-final, save a pen of rivals, and draw 0-0 out of 10 men. It's an incredible feeling. I might not seem too happy, but it's only because it's half-time. Didn't want to cause any dramas. I didn't want to be involved in the game at all. A good game for a goalie is one that you're not involved in, so I wasn't asked to do too much, and whatever I did do, I done all right. So I wanted to go under the radar. Obviously, the penalty save kind of takes that away, but that's life for a goalie.
Away. I know. You want your moment in the spotlight. Come on.
Getting yourself on, Liam.
Anyway, let's bring
give
in.
Give yourself a shake.
Let's bring in Ross and Mocklin. How's it going, Ross?
All right, bud. How's it going?
What do you think of last night then? What stood out for you?
The new keeper.
Oh, he's the new keeper now. He's staying in.
Aye, definitely. Let us get him trained. Let us get him in. Let us go for it. That's what I'm going
to
say.
Did you want that change to be made before the game?
I liked the way the new keeper had come in. It was brilliant. I thought he was first class. Played his heart out last night. The saves he had was fantastic.
The life of a goalkeeper is a unique business. When Jack Butland was in his pomp last season, it was Philippe Clement saying that under no circumstances, it didn't matter if they were offered 10 million for Jack Butland, they wouldn't sell. And then Jack Butland's form fell off a cliff. Liam Kelly is a very inexperienced goalkeeper in terms of Rangers. He hasn't played double figures yet in terms of games for Rangers. He's had a Hollywood night last night. He has to go from there, Pittodrie, over to Bilbao. And Scott, as you know, that is the life of a goalkeeper. Liam saying there he wanted to stay under the radar, but they can't because one mistake and they are highlighted.
Yeah, they are. Listen, I think he touched on it himself there. He didn't have huge amounts to do, but when he was asked the question, I think that's the life of a goalkeeper, especially Rangers and Celtic in this country, where in the big moments you have to produce big saves, and he did do that. Again, like I said, coming out and taking crosses at vital moments in the game just takes that.
I think it helps build confidence throughout the game as well.
Yes.
That, because I think there was one quite early, a couple of crosses maybe early, and he's right, he didn't have much to do, but he kind of had enough that he was like tested up to a point.
Yeah, and obviously everybody talks about saves, but them coming, collecting crosses in busy penalty boxes, it just takes the pressure off you, and it most of all takes the pressure off your team. Listen, the Aberdeen will be interesting on Sunday because they've got a lot to play for as well, obviously fighting for third spot, and then it's really up to him at this moment in time, because I feel that Barry Ferguson's going to give them that run of games that he's probably been waiting on for since he's went there.
Well, let's hear from Barry Ferguson on that issue as well. He's talking about it was Nicholas Raskin I was going to hear from. My mistake. He believes Rangers have the chance of beating Bilbao next week in qualifying for those semi-finals.
Yeah, we can. If we put everything in it and follow the plan, and we need a bit of luck, like, you know, every game, but we're confident, and that's the way to look forward, you know. Let's just go next week and look forward to do something amazing. You know, we've got fans to travel. We want to make them proud, and well, it's going to be a difficult game, but I think we all believe it.
The sun's gone to my head. Can I blame the sun? I do have Barry Ferguson on Jack Butland. I just couldn't quite see it on the sheet. And you just need to forgive me. It's Friday, and I just hope I'll just plead for forgiveness. Let's hear the manager on that decision.
One of the toughest things I've had to do. Firstly, I think Jack Butland is a top goalkeeper. Secondly, I've got a very, very good relationship with Jack. I've known Jack a long time. He was a young kid coming through at Birmingham, and when I went down to play for Birmingham in the Premier League. And thirdly, I've got to know it's hurting Jack, and I've got to be mindful of that as well, because I care for him. So I just had to make a decision, and it was a tough decision when I spoke to him. I could see he was hurting. You go with decisions. It's no one that I decided on Saturday night or Sunday. I thought long and hard about it, and when I spoke with him, it was a tough 10-15 minutes conversation. But listen, Jack's still got a huge part to play here. But in terms of Liam coming in, I thought he'd done well tonight, Liam.
Thank you to Ross, who wanted Liam Kelly to stay in. I suspect a lot of people doing it. It can't have been easy, Hugh. Look, I could be wrong in this. I'm not going to commit and throw it out like some big statement, but I, from what I hear, it was it was the last bit of the team to be sort of known or revealed. I don't quite know in which order Barry Ferguson does it, but we spoke earlier in the week, sometimes these, for outfield players, it can become clear because you're doing shape and whatever and lining up.
Yeah.
But I think it was a kind of last minute knowledge that they got.
For me, the job of manager is a solitary business. It's your head that will roll if things don't go well. So Barry Ferguson, good of him to point out that he's known Jack Butland for a long time and has a strong affection for him. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter at all. It's a solitary business. Managers have to manage. And his belief was, by leaving out Jack Butland, the team would be strengthened. And that's what he went with.
Tell you what, must have been a busy night if I've not even debated the red card or the handball or any of the other drama yet. So if you want to do that, now would be a good time. Let me remind you, I've been telling you about this all week, but it's a great opportunity with Easter holidays and so on, because we've teamed up with the Scottish Football Museum to give you the chance to win a private tour of the museum and Hampden Park Stadium for 10 people as well. They're open 7 days a week over the holidays. A great day out for the whole family. You'll be getting to that stage now, I think, where you're looking for things to do. Don't think the weather's meant to be as good next week either, so why not? You can learn about Scotland's footballing history from the 19th century to the present day. Obviously Hugh was there at the start of that,
in and around.
You can walk through the old turnstiles, sit in the original dressing rooms, and of course the Scottish Cup, the oldest trophy in world football. There's a cafe as well. You'll be fed and watered. So head online to Clyde1.com to find out more and enter to win that incredible private tour for 10.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. It's that usual number for your Twitter at Clyde SSB if you want to have your say. Jimmy's in Cambus Lang. How are you, Jimmy?
I'm doing not so bad, man. Thanks, panel, for taking my call.
That's our pleasure. What did you want to discuss from last night, then?
The best thing I had last night was Popper getting sent off. If he just stayed on that park, they would have gone up by the load. And I don't know what they're going to do next time, because Sterling's out long-term, so they can't play Sterling right now in the centre-half. And then, because Tavernier and Sterling were good with that wee right winger, was quite tricky. But that Popper, I don't know whoever signed him, but I'm 80-year-old, I could play better than him.
Well, look, here's the thing, Scott. I'm terrified of agreeing with Gordon Biel here, who always says it's harder to play against 10 men, right? It's not a good outcome. You do not want to go down to 10 men. But I kind of see what Jimmy means. It's not automatic that Rangers would have got a better result if they'd stayed with 11, because it can sort of sharpen your focus, and then you've got one job to do.
Yes.
Is that kind of the way you see it?
That, for me, that's pretty, in a nutshell, I think, like I said at the top of the show, is what your team are then asking you in terms of creatively. There's not as much pressure on you to get forward and create chances. It's then about obviously containing the opposition and hopefully spring on the break, especially being the home team. Listen, Proper, he's not for me. I don't think he's not been good enough. He just hasn't. I think looking ahead to next week, Suter comes in. I think in terms of the full backs, I felt they both
did. Does it cause an issue? Because Jimmy's right, Sterling's, but I'm no physio, but if Barry Ferguson describes it as, you know, it's long term and it's an Achilles injury,
long,
you could be looking at the end of the year, or, you know, certainly not the start of next season. But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
No,
Proper will be suspended. So can Rangers keep a back three next week?
No, that's a good question. I think he might change it again. I think Suter comes in.
Or does James Tavernier go in there and then all of a sudden you ask Jeffrey to go and play on the right side, or Yilmaz, as he has done?
Big calls again. I think he's going to have to make some big calls again. But listen, for me, Suter comes back and he makes that defence better.
Did his teammates dig him out last night, Robin Proper, Hugh? Because if that happens and you then go on and concede a couple, you're a proper villain.
I agree with Jimmy. Proper's never a Rangers player, never has been. Always looks suspect and won't be there next season. He'll be part of the overhaul. I think his red card creates a different mentality among the Rangers players. They then know they have to dig in, and they're bang up against it, and it focused minds to an incredible degree. I'm not sure if Proper had lasted 90 minutes, I'm not sure they wouldn't have done something silly. Therefore, it worked out well yes, the you'd rather play anybody with 11 men, but I think last night it worked out in Rangers' favour, and you won't see Robin Proper, I don't think, between now and the end of the season.
Any complaints about the red card, Jimmy?
No, well, it was a bit sort of, I mean, it was offside, it was handball, it was red card. But even then, the play before that happened, I mean, the keeper pitched out to Tavernier and he passed his suit, and Suter passed it to Popper, and he just gave him it straight back. Then they gave it to Tavernier, and then they gave it to Popper again. And Popper's got the hat, he's waving his hand, no, pitch it up the park, don't get it to me. The guy's an absolute nightmare.
Scott said earlier he had no problems with the red hue. You in agreement?
An absolute red card all day long, yeah. No problem.
It was, I get why, Scott, it's one of, just a classic one. Just emotions will take over. If that's your team, you just think everything starts going through your head of, but it's early in the game, and you think, well, that doesn't really matter. And then you think, you go, but if it was inside the box, it would only be a yell, tough, you know. I think maybe today puts a different look in things for people who really don't think it was a red. Surely now, like, convince me it's not denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity. That would be my sort of question to anyone.
Yeah, it was a fantastic slide rule pass. Obviously, Proper caught on the wrong side. Lovely slip through the two defenders. And listen, if he gets through and he gets turned, he's in goal. So for me, it was a definite red card. And listen, the game, that was that bit of adversity that then, as you touched on in terms of focus and minds, it then becomes a proper defensive display, individual duels, willingness to run for your teammates, and sometimes that just brings out a different confidence in a team. And looking ahead to next week, I think that what Rangers will take for that game will be huge.
See on that then, is that like ideal Rangers conditions on steroids last night? Because we've sat here for months and said Rangers are at their best when they're underdogs. Rangers are at the best when it's the other team who's going to dominate the ball.
Yeah,
you know, so you've got those things already, and then all of a sudden you've got an extra siege mentality in there. So now of course they're going to dominate the ball, and now of course they're the favourites. We've all been saying that is when Rangers are at their best. So
it would be better for Rangers if they went to Pittodrie and got a right going over on Sunday. It brings out the best in them the game after.
I know,
but Rangers are a counter attacking side.
That's what I was going to say. Is it just that this is separate? Because I respect the fact that Barry Ferguson said, you know, there was clear the air talks and all that, but I feel like it's too easy to say that worked and that last night was some sort of reaction. Because I said at the top of the show, we've been here before many times. Philippe Clement got results in Europe. Barry Ferguson got past Fenerbahce. It can't keep being the case that you do well in Europe, do bad domestically, have a big inquest, everybody gets everything off their chest. You should only do those things once. I don't know, you've been in dressing rooms once or twice a season.
I was going to say that to you. I've never been in the dressing room as Scott has, but you know, when Barry Ferguson on Saturday said that's not a Rangers team, and then they play the way they did with 10 men.
But at the same time, Hugh, though, he also said that the big games take care of themselves, and that is there's no truer word. They do. Any player can get themselves up for their games, especially when you get down to 10 men, you know what's at stake. It's easier to do the run. Uh-huh. Because you know it's at stake, it's a big tie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying about last night. It was a slight difference in the fact that they went down to 10 men, but in terms of overall defying the odds in Europe, that's not new.
No,
that's not new for this Rangers team.
And it hasn't been for many a season for Rangers in Europe. I think they are set up to be a counter-attacking side. When they play at home, they don't have the combinations around the edge of the box that really, really go and hurt teams. It's been a bit better since Barry Ferguson came in, I think, in terms of an attacking sense, but they were leaking goals. Zero, I think it was zero clean sheets in 10 games up until last night. Then they play a side with somebody.
Yeah. It's a strange time to get your clean sheet, isn't it?
It's honestly bizarre.
Jimmy, do you think Rangers go through from here?
Well, it really depends. I mean, you think we've only got two centre-halves, Suter and Balligan, and Tavernier at right back. I mean, that's it. And I fear for it now, because that team will really be attacking, and that wee winger was very, very tricky, and it took Sterling and Tavernier to really sort of work it together to shut him out. But we can only hope. But I think we'll do it.
This, you know, Jimmy said, I fear for them. People have been saying this since the season started in Europe. And, you know, Manchester United at Old Trafford, Well, yeah, they lost belatedly, but you know, Tottenham did well. The other games, I don't think that the emotion that's dominant ahead of the game against Athletic Bilbao is fear. I really don't think so.
See, in terms of formation, we've seen about the go a three next week. Rangers showed yesterday for over 90 minutes that they can play with two banks of four, similar to what Walter Smith done back in the day. Rangers can be two banks of four and maybe have the luxury to play someone off the front and still cause problems on the counter attack. That looks like going to be the most likely formation that he'll go with, because he's seen his team in the two banks of four be very disciplined. The willingness to run, as I said, this time with an extra player, when the pressure is on Athletic Club, they are obviously hosting the final. Rangers can go and play that shape. That gives you the most structure in terms of out of possession for going away from home.
Thank you, Jimmy. Let's play a big game of our own. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. A good way to end the week on a high by getting the victory, getting the signed ball, getting the bragging rights over Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen. But you have to give us a call within the next 5 minutes or so. Lines close at 7 0141 951 1025, and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here on 0141 951 1025. Of course, a lot of focus going on to Ibrox last night because it was action-packed. The most action-packed 0-0 I think we've had in a while, and it leaves the tie very much in the balance. So if you want to keep going on that theme, you can. We're going to play some very interesting comments from Brendan Rodgers soon though, talking about Celtic needing freshness this summer, or it's the manager that will pay the price. He's clearly very frustrated at not having the chance to win the league in front of a home crowd this weekend. So Celtic fans, how are you feeling? Give us a call please, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are standing by. Jordan's on the line. How's it going, Jordan?
How you doing, guys? You all right?
Yeah, no bad.
How are you, Jordan?
I'm not too bad. I'm under pressure tonight. I've got the girlfriend right next to me.
It's brave, Jordan. It is brave. What's her name?
Abby.
Abby. See, who's, are you in the car?
Yeah, we're both in the car.
Are you driving?
I'm driving.
I was going to say, I thought she'd kick you out otherwise if this goes wrong. I think that's brave. You don't embarrass yourself in front of the lady.
Well, my wife always says you deserve all you get. So, yeah.
She gave up listening to you a long time ago, I suspect.
So, Abby, he deserves all he gets.
Abby, do you like your football? Are you going to be of any help?
No much, no.
No, that's fine. No, just moral support. That's fine. Heads, it will be Hugh Keevans, and tails, it will be Scott Allen. So let's see how we go. It's heads, it's Hugh Keevans with all that experience, if you can call it that. So we'll give him something else to listen to, Jordan and Abby. 30 seconds going on the clock. Just answer as many as you can. If you'd rather pass and move on to the next question, that is absolutely allowed, okay?
Okay.
Right, 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. Name either Scottish side that Tommy Wright has managed.
Kilmarnock.
Who was the Scotland captain at Euro 2020?
Andy Robertson.
Former Rangers player Abdallah Sima plays for which French side?
Nantes.
Where did St Mirren previously play their home games?
Oh, pass.
Celtic loaned Liam Scales to which other Premiership side in 2022?
Aberdeen.
Motherwell manager Michael Vimmer is from which country?
Lithuania.
Okay, let's bring back Hugh Keevans. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
Good, same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Name either Scottish side that Tommy Wright has managed.
St Johnstone.
Who was the Scotland captain at Euro 2020?
Pass.
Former Rangers player Abdallah Sima plays for which French team?
Monaco.
Where did St Mirren previously play their home games?
Love Street.
Celtic loaned Liam Scales to which other Premiership side in 2022?
Aberdeen.
Motherwell manager Michael Vimmer is from which country?
Germany.
How many teams are in each division below the Premiership?
10.
Okay. What do you think, Jordan?
Oh, I don't know, man. It might be tight.
Oh, it might be. Let's go through them. Let's go through them and find out. Name either Scottish side. Tommy Wright has managed at St Johnstone or Kilmarnock. You both got a point on the board. You just overthought this one, Hugh Evans. You just overthought it.
Is it Callum McGregor?
Andy Robertson. Andy, he's been Scotland captain for ages. So
I always think it's a trick answer.
I know. You just overthought it. But Jordan, get that? He got it. Andy Robertson. He goes 2-1 in front. Abdallah Sima plays for Brest. So none of you got that one. This question gives me the fear because we've had it before, right? You said Love Street, which is fine. Love Street's what's written on my paper. Every time we do this question, I get a barrage of tweets saying, I think you'll find it was actually St Mirren Park and it was just commonly known as Love Street. So I accept the accuracy, but we'll just take Love Street for the purposes of our question, right? So Hugh Evans equalises. That was the answer we were looking for. Celtic loan Liam Scales to Aberdeen. You both got it, so we're level at this point. I think if we're talking about Hugh overthinking previous answers, you've done it with the Motherwell manager. Jordan, he's German. Jordan went Lithuanian. He's gone right out there. Very specific. He is German. Jordan's from Motherwell as well, but it's not his team. So shame on you. That's what you get, Jordan. How many teams are in each division below the Premiership? It is 10, which means Hugh Keevans takes it. I think it's a 5-3 win for the old timer. Do you know what, Jordan? It's a defeat, but I don't think you embarrassed yourself enough for Abby to be outraged. Is that fair?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Oh,
careful, Jordan. Careful.
Are you a Celtic fan, Jordan?
Yes.
What's the feeling at the moment? Where you're closing in on the title? It could even be this weekend. It might be a treble in the not too distant future, and yet the manager's warning about what needs to happen in the future, and some fans are a bit unhappy about last weekend and so on.
Yeah, I feel like last weekend it was bound to happen. It felt like it was going to happen. And I'm glad it's happened now, rather than obviously maybe late in the season if obviously Rangers would maybe gain points back. But I'm a bit disappointed that Yang's obviously injured for this week, because I would have been the one to start him instead of Kuhn. So that's just kind of what I feel, to be honest.
Hugh, that's the thing. I always say, like, the boring way of looking at this is Jordan might be right. You can get results like this in a season. It's not a disgrace. But when they come at a time when you're supposed to be chasing the title, and when they come off the back of maybe a few others, it just looks like there is a drop off. If you have this run at the start of the season and then you finish like a steam train, no one remembers it. You can see both sides of that.
I think the performance against Johnston was appalling, and I'll use the word again, appalling. And as I said of Barry Ferguson earlier in the programme, management is a solitary business. And Brendan Rodgers is thinking, what is going on with these people? I will have to make changes because of this complacency. Celtic are under real pressure tomorrow against Kilmarnock to deliver result and performance. And when he says that new players are required, yeah, he's right. Austin Trusty, waste of money. Adam Eder, waste of money. Nicholas Kuhn.
Tell us what you really think.
Whatever happened to Nicholas Kuhn? Some other guy's in taking his place in the team. Jota, the stepover king, he can get his finger out as well because, he's in a comfort zone. So there's a lot of things on Brendan Rodgers' mind. And as I say, he is in a solitary business and he has to live with this. And he is looking at his players and thinking, not good enough.
Tell you what, life comes at you fast. Jordan's calling for your favourite Yang. He would have wanted him to be the saviour tomorrow, but he's injured.
When Yang came on at Paisley, I thought, oh my, he's turned the corner. A half hour cameo at Paisley where he scored two, made one, and looked sensational. I think, you know, people go on his performance last Sunday only because the rest were so bad.
But to be fair, he probably has done enough. He would have had a good chance of starting tomorrow, wouldn't he?
Oh yeah,
if it wasn't for this injury.
Yeah. But I think now, you know, Jota, Kuhn, Maeda will play up front. Maeda must have a spinal injury carrying this lot for as long as he has done. So Celtic are obliged to return the performance. You've got a manager possibly on the verge of a treble. A world record breaking treble, and he's telling you some of these will have to go. They're not up to it.
Well, thank you to Jordan. Well done, Jordan, for being a good sport. Hopefully you're not getting the silent treatment. You can pull this back. You can redeem yourself over the weekend, okay? keep the chin up.
Fair play to you.
Good
fair
man. Play. There we go. Jordan and Abby, he's assistant manager there on Beat the Pundit. 01419511025. Hugh says that though, Scott. Brent, do you think Brendan Rodgers could go one of two ways here, where he does just pick the same three, and because they didn't perform last week, can they go and do better this week? But is it out of the ordinary that Adam Eder comes back in? Dyes Almeida goes back to the left, maybe even a James Forrest returns.
James Forrest could maybe come in. Felt he looked quite bright when he came on. Obviously, exception of Young, who's obviously out now injured. I think you can sense a real frustration in Brendan Rodgers when that's obviously post match against St Johnstone, and then obviously today.
Let's play that bit today, actually, just to save you all talking around it. It was my fault for asking the question first, but you know, Brendan Rodgers, he's, yeah, you can still sense there's something there with him. He's says he will make changes to the squad this summer to guard against complacency. He says the teams need freshness to succeed, or the manager is the one that will pay the price.
No, I think changes need it. That's that freshness, that new energy coming into your squad that sort of alleviates any of that sort of complacency. You know, we will bring players in to challenge the squad and the team for the summer. But that's natural to any team. However this team does at the end of the season, come the end, we want to improve it, because like I said, if you just sit on that, then the team needs the competition. So either way, we will look to improve the squad. One of the ways to succeed and guard across what I've been talking about is you need the freshness. It's either that or the manager goes. It's as simple. There's no rocket science in it. Do you know what I mean? You cannot be at a club for a long period of time with the same group of players, and likewise the same group of players need a different voice maybe. So it's but at this moment it'll be about improving the squad.
It's an astonishing thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could be the manager of the title-winning team by 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, and he's talking about, no, they're complacent, they're not good enough, some will have to go, we need freshness. Astonishing thing to say.
It's interesting, but he would only be able to elaborate up to a point. I think he clearly is annoyed at some of them, Scott, but you wonder to what extent, because he's always said that, well, last week he exonerated Callum McGregor, so he wasn't part of the criticism. He's the one that's been there the longest.
Yeah.
I don't think over the piece how could you be critical of Dyes Almeida? It's not him. He still seems pretty fond of Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers and so on. So yeah, he seems annoyed at Nicholas Coon because he brought him off.
Yeah, but that was
But he's new though. Do you know what I mean? And Arne Ingles, they spent a lot of money on him. They spent a lot of money in Adam Eder. They spent a lot of money in Austin Trusty. So
Schmeichel's new, obviously, as well.
I'm sure teams always want to look forward, but it doesn't strike you. It's not a hugely stale squad, is it? In terms of like time that they've been there, or am I looking at that wrong?
I wonder if he's trying to put a rocket up some players for the weekend, you know, to get more out of them. Nicholas Coon, as I say, at the start of the season, early into the season, we're talking about potential player of the year. Jota comes back, scores that goal at Motherwell, and you know, everyone has fallen back in love with Jota. But for me, he needs to do more. Likewise, Nicholas Coon. Maeda, I exonerate completely because he was due an off day and he had one in Perth. But there has to be tomorrow, in front of many, many people, tens of thousands of people, there has to be a sign of life here, because to have lost three of your last six games with a squad like the one that Celtic have is incredible.
I think for me, looking at last week in terms of obviously the Coon thing, that when you come out and you hear the frustration in his voice after the St Johnstone game, I think a lot of that was directed at Nicholas Coon. I felt Dre Wright is a player who I played with, and he's a good player. He was playing at left of a three at centre back when he's been a winger most of his career, and they dealt with him with relative ease in terms of the game. And I think that, for me, I feel like a lot of teams have maybe worked him out. He's looking to shift in on his left foot all the time, and he doesn't have that wee bounce pass that he maybe had with Kyogo. So he's coming across and he's either having a shot, he's going 15 yards wide, he just doesn't look the same player. There's no question he has went off the boil, but at the same time he's had a huge impact in terms of this Celtic team this season, because ultimately to win a league it takes a full season of performances. So he has played his part at the start, but there's no question he's went off the boil.
Do you see all of this then, is it, because you know Brendan Rodgers,
yep.
doesn't really say things off the cuff. It's all he's quite
calculated. Yeah,
he's obviously clever and he's been around the block. So is this looking at, you know, kicking some players up the backside? Sometime maybe a message to the board, or, you know, just trying to make sure that standards all stay high ultimately. Because as Hugh says, they are, would anybody listening bet against them winning a treble?
No, you can't argue with that. But if they maintain this sort of form that they're in,
you think it's in doubt if they maintain this? I suppose then, is that
no? I think they've allowed, as Brendan Rodgers has obviously spoken on, there's been a bit of slackness come into that. Sorry, a big bit of slackness come into the play over the last month, and that's what he's trying to obviously put a finger on that right now. And as Hugh says, put a rocket up the. So for me, I think it's looking to the summer, it's putting players under pressure. Listen, it's time to perform. We're speaking about guys at Angles who need us. Mm-hmm. If you want to come in and play regularly, the performances have to be better.
You know how this works. You get on a Friday or whatever, you know, that was part of his press conference that we played. You know, rights holders will maybe do separate bits. So I actually spoke to him in a separate interview from the one you just heard for Sky earlier, and sort of just listening to him, I think he's genuinely really annoyed at not having the chance to win the title tomorrow,
yeah,
in front of their own fans. I know that might seem like a small thing, because look, you'll win it when you win it. Mm-hmm. But he said it doesn't come along very often. He said it was, the last time it happened was my first spell here. Yeah. I think that's really got to him.
Yeah, and you know, on the day that they won it at Celtic Park, they won it with a flourish. But having said that, they went to Kilmarnock and won it last season, and they did it with a flourish, 5 goals. I think he's genuinely disillusioned with some of the players. And that's why tomorrow, you know, if Celtic were to return another indifferent performance, I think the Celtic fans would turn on them. And, you know, the way the city works, the Celtic fans are saying, Rangers are getting closer and closer to another European final. And they went through it in 2008 when Rangers went to Manchester, and they went through it when Giovanni Van Bronckhorst went to Seville. And they're saying, are you telling us that Rangers are going to go for a third European final and we can't beat St Johnstone?
See, in terms of, if you add up all the years he has been at Celtic, I'd say in the last 3-4 months, probably the most you've heard him being really annoyed at the players. He's frustrated he's been at the players. I think over, he always usually comes out and backs it, takes it on. I'd say that's probably the most this season where he's come out and not had a dig, but had a bit of a questioning.
Maybe
just certain traits.
Maybe he just hates Perth, because that was the only place that he got angry last season, was it not?
Well, he actually said
just hates the city of Perth.
He actually said that day it was the angriest he'd ever been in management. Now, this is a man who's managed Liverpool.
Just can't stand it.
And but they came back that day. Callum McGregor led the revival. They won 3-1, but on Sunday they were appalling, with a capital A. And I go back to Barry Ferguson's quote last Saturday. That's not a Rangers team. Brendan Rodgers on Sunday afternoon must have gone home and thought, that's not a Celtic team.
Yeah, but that must be more complex, because it is a Celtic team that is very close to a treble. So I know he's got his standards, but what are we saying here?
We're saying that Celtic have lost 4 games in 2025. Yeah. We're saying that they've lost 3 of the last 6 games, and Brendan Rodgers is embarrassed by his own players.
But you've got that short term thing, and you've got his standards, which are very high. We can't simultaneously have a treble winning side and go, that's not a Celtic team. Those two are too far apart. They're too contradictory.
Look, listen, there's a bit of slackness come in. They've obviously had the big gap for a long time now. In some occasions, teams can let that wee bit of complacency come in. Celtic have let that come in. Brendan Rodgers is ultimately trying to nip it in the bud, because he knows what's at stake this year in terms of a treble.
Let's hear a bit more on that. He says that the defeat to St Johnstone shows him they still have a long way to go to have the mindset he's looking for.
It's a result we don't expect, and it's certainly a result I can't accept as the manager here, and it's not something that I can accept. But what I also said to them is that, look, for 8 months of the season, from the first day of pre-season until we get knocked out against Bayern Munich, our level has been at a really, really high level. Consistent, we think, some of the performances that we've had, some of the results that we've had, and there was probably only maybe 2 performances in there, Dortmund away, Rangers away. Apart from that, we've been so consistent and playing at a level. And And I said, it also shows we have a way to go to be to where I want us to be in terms of mindset and mentality. Because there's no doubt that the gap in the league, and maybe and also maybe a little bit of coming out of the Champions League, has just taken a slight edge off. So that's a mindset that I need to continue to work within the squad in order to improve that.
0141 951 1025. What are you thinking, Celtic fans? This, despite all this, could be the weekend you win the title. You'd need to wait till Sunday, of course. How are you feeling about it all? 0141 951 1025. If you call us now, we'll get you on next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here on 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need, so get in touch. I've got a good full-time teaser for you two before we move on. It was sent in from Declan in Beath for sending in. So thank you very much to Declan. Including qualifiers, which makes it difficult. Including qualifiers, 9 Celtic or Rangers players have been sent off in Europe since 21-22. Pretty recent. Uh-huh. To have that number. Anyway, 9 Celtic or Rangers players have been sent off in Europe since 21-22. It does include qualifiers.
Dyson Maeda.
He did get sent off twice actually in that period. Young Boys and Atletico Madrid.
Lager Bielka.
Yes, Feyenoord.
Odin Tom.
I'll give you home.
Home, I was got that was my one.
Same game as Lager Bielka, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Scott, do you want to throw a guess in anywhere?
Conor Goldson.
No, there's a really easy one that you've missed. But anyway, we'll leave it there. Thanks to Declan again. You've got 3 already, so we'll see how you get on between now and the end. And if you want to send a question in and hear it used in the show, hear the pundits toil to come up with your answers, the email you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Send them in, please. Michael's on the line. How are you, Michael?
Yeah, I'm absolutely fantastic. Thanks ever so much for taking my call.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, I would just like to make a couple of points as I can possibly do. I understand the panel's suggestions about Brendan Rodgers' comments, that it's unusual for him to come out and be that sort of, I don't know, down on the performance levels, maybe complacency, maybe thinking their job's done. They're in the entertainment business, and Celtic, 60,000 Celtic fans pay their money each and every season. And the players that have been brought in, Arnie Engels wasn't mentioned about people who have went off the boil. I would never have him in the team. I would have Luke McCown in there all day long before him. Unsure about Adamida, he's not really had a run of games. Kuhn has, for some reason, came off the boil. I don't understand why. And I think Brendan Rodgers' statement today is if the hierarchy above him don't understand that there is, and I understand the level of money that Celtic have spent is more than normal, but I think he's sending a statement out to up above that, if you don't back me, then I will walk from the club once again.
Well, Brendan Rodgers is more important than the hierarchy. Brendan Rodgers means success for Celtic. And he needs not only the trust of the hierarchy, we'll call it Michael Nicholson, the CEO, Peter Lawwell, the chairman. He needs their financial backing. And having said that, I am the one who has said that £15 million worth of Austin Trusty and Adam Ida has been a waste of money. So they did back him and brought in 2 players who for me are not good enough to play for Celtic. But Brendan Rodgers needs to keep sending out a reminder. If you want Celtic to prosper, continue to prosper domestically, and you want them to make inroads into Europe as they have started to do this season, then you need to be resolute and you need to back the manager.
Do you think this one's more aimed at the players though, Scott? Because maybe, I mean, I've seen it, I think was it Chris Sutton's column in the paper today talking about they showed complacency by not replacing Kyogo, fine, but Hughes just answered it and so has Michael. In Scottish terms, that's a fortune to spend in the summer. They spent £11 million on Arnie Ingles. They spent £9 million on Adam Ida, who was there last season. And I'm not going to use this as a, you know, a chance to kick Adam Ida, because there's lots of debate, but you know, there weren't loads of clubs battering down Norwich's door for Adam Eda, and they paid £9 million for him and £6 million for Austin Trusty. So I know it's become a popular thing over the years to moan and say that Celtic need to spend more. I don't know if this is the right time for that, is it?
I think they do need to strengthen. I think
that's they can be subtly different.
There's no denying that they've overpaid for Arne Engels and Adam Eda. I think everyone would agree on that. They've overpaid, but I think in terms of the Norwich one, I think they knew how desperate Celtic were to get a striker in. In terms of Engels, he was more seen as a project, but when you're signed for that amount of money, you're expecting that sort of consistency week in, week out. I think Brendan Rodgers touched on earlier in the season about him coming from a team where the demands weren't the same, the expectations weren't the same. So he's had some really good moments in a Celtic jersey and some where he hasn't maybe affected the game as much as he would like to. But it's still his first season, so you have to bear with him. I do think there's a player in there. Just not as obviously Coons went off the boil, but Coons went off the boil and he's still, I think, the most assists in the league. So that tells you over the course of a season he has affected games for Celtic. It's just at this moment in time when the season's come to a close, it's obviously heightened. I just feel he's trying to demand more off the players. He's trying to develop that consistency which he's had in previous. He's obviously his invincible team that he put together. This one, he's wanting them to go to the next level. So that's maybe why he's been a wee bit harsher in terms of individual performances and that thing that he's striving for, and that is every week going out there and being killers and making teams suffer. That's what he wants in his team. And if this is what it takes to get that, then that's what he'll do.
Tomorrow's game in isolation is so fascinating because the equation is simple. Celtic beat Kilmarnock, Rangers lose at Pittodrie, Celtic are champions. He is challenging those players, whether it's Coon, Ingles, Eda, Trusty, whoever. He's challenging those players to appreciate that they put the down payment on the title tomorrow. And they're playing Kilmarnock, a team from the bottom six, a week after they lost to the team at the bottom. And he's challenging those players to stop messing about, and you must be capable at home of beating a team from the bottom six.
Are you expecting a reaction tomorrow, Michael?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think it's only inevitable. It's only inevitable. But can I just quickly make another point in regards to the cost of these players that are incoming?
Sure.
Now, Scottish football, I'm turning 50 a week come Monday, and I've followed Celtic since I was a young child of maybe 10 years old. And I believe my first game was the Cup Final in 85 at Hampden against Dundee United. And for all of these years, players have been leaving Scottish football for a pittance. Now, Kieran Tierney left for £25 million. Was he worth £25 million? I don't know. Jota left for approximately the same. Was he worth that when he left? He's not the player that he was when he left. Now he's back. Celtic have so much money in the bank because the global market of buying and selling players has completely changed now that Scottish football is catching up, where Scottish football are now getting what they deserve for the sale of players that used to be described as in a mediocre league, which is why players of Kieran Tierney's stands 20 years ago would have left for £2 million. It's a flip side of the coin, you know, and the value of a player is what the club demands of the player.
Well, that's what somebody's willing to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kieran Tierney went for £25 million because Arsenal were willing to pay that amount of money, and likewise Jota to the United Arab Emirates. So, you know, Celtic run the club exceptionally well. They always have done since Fergus McCann took over in 1994, established a business model, and since 1994, Celtic have been run extremely well. That much is without dispute. But we're talking about players have been brought in who are not up to it, and Brendan Rodgers has now spotted they're not up to it, and change will have to take place. I think there'll be a terrific overhaul at Celtic and Rangers in the summertime. But as I say, take tomorrow's game in isolation. Very simple equation. You have 60,000 Celtic fans in the sunshine. If you win, you put enormous pressure on Rangers the following day at Aberdeen, because if they lose, Celtic are four in a row League title winners. If the Celtic players don't respond to that incentive tomorrow, there is something badly wrong.
I think it, because of all this, Scott, it is important that they do get over the line quickly in the league.
Yes.
And then the cup will take care of itself, because it's not wrong. Brendan Rodgers is the one that's leading it. So I'm hardly going to sit here and tell Brendan Rodgers that he's being too harsh. But I am wondering where this goes. What is Celtic's bar then? Because we've all said it, it's probably going to be a treble. And on top of that, because now people have went, win trebles all the time. Well, this was the season that they actually got through in the Champions League and did pretty well against Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
So if it transpires the way that most people expect it to, it could well be a treble and a level of success in the Champions League, which they've not had before. And yet what? There needs to be an overhaul in the summer. And it seems to me that, of course, if you're Brendan Rodgers and you're Celtic, you want to keep nudging up the standards, you want to keep nudging up your bar, but at some point, you can only go so far as a Scottish club. And I know that sounds sort of defeatist, but there must be a ceiling somewhere.
Yeah, there will be a ceiling, but I don't think it's at this moment in time. I think Celtic can improve. I think,
of course, listen, I'm not saying they can't, but I'm wondering how much higher. If we're in danger of scoffing at a treble plus a Champions League, or, you know, a fairly successful Champions League campaign.
Yeah, it's getting close to the ceiling. Yeah, no question. Ultimately, I think Brendan Rodgers, to try and create that mindset that he's looking for, he's coming out and he's to get that, and the players will. Don't get me wrong, players listen to the interview, so they go, then you start questioning yourself in the changing room, is that me he's talking about? And they don't want to be that guy. Then they go, might be players coming in the summer. Mm-hmm. To create that mindset, you have to be cruel to be kind at times. So I feel that he's maybe going down that route. Yes, the performances over the last month haven't been where the standards that he wants. The complacency has creeped into their game. Like I said, the gap that they've had in the league, they've been pretty comfortable for months upon months now. So he's trying to create that mindset, looking into the summer, looking at the Champions League next year, and looking into the league, because he would probably be expecting Rangers to strengthen. So I think he's just trying to create a mindset there within a team, yeah, that he wants to.
It's a huge, game for Kilmarnock as well, Hugh, yeah, because there becomes a point when you need wins. So this notion that your season's not defined against Celtic or mostly Celtic at the moment. At some point, you're just going to have, because St Johnstone did it, and all, yeah, of a sudden that's shaking everything up at the bottom. It's going to be extremely tough for Kilmarnock to go there. But you at this stage of the season, when you need as many points as possible, you can't like write these ones off. Do you know what I mean?
Oh no, not at all. I think, I don't know Kyle Vassell's state of fitness.
Well, he was back involved, so.
But if he plays tomorrow, Trusty and Carter Vickers are immediately under pressure because they can't handle physicality. Olasanya at St Mirren proves that every time he plays against the pair of them.
They've struggled with two up against them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The challenge is, though, these games at Celtic Park, is how much do you have the ball to put them under pressure?
I know, but...
Set pieces.
Celtic have to... Yeah, I mean, the set pieces at Dermot Park last Sunday, I mean, in the name of goodness, you've got Carter Vickers, Schloop, Trusty. I mean, every time the ball comes in, yeah, there's a state of panic, and that'll be the same against Kilmarnock tomorrow, and that's simply not good enough.
Yeah, I think in terms of that first goal, from set pieces, whether it's a corner or a free kick, every player in that line has a role to play, whether that's zonal and you need to attack your space in front of you. That was so easy. They'll be the wee details that really frustrate Brendan Rodgers, because you work on it.
I do wonder though, if once things start to creak you, then you look too much. Celtic have played 16 home games this season and have conceded goals in three of them. So I'm not saying Kyle Vassell can't hurt Celtic, and I'm not saying that set pieces might not be an issue. They've conceded in three of their 16 home games this season.
Yeah, yep. Celtic are huge favourites tomorrow, there's no question. There's been a little chink in their armour over the last month. Can Kilmarnock go and pull something off? For me, at best, I would say a point, but a point at this stage in the season, obviously, that would be big for Kilmarnock away at Celtic. But you're expecting a huge reaction from this Celtic team tomorrow, no question.
Okay, why don't you get your calls in right now? 01419511025. As I was going to say, a big day in terms of the race for the top six. It's massive. Probably not finding the words to do it justice. A three-way fight for it. Two of the teams play each other, in Motherwell and Hearts, St Mirren waiting in the wings as well. So we'll take a look at that. The Championship could be won this weekend. There's loads still to get through, so please get your calls in. How are you two faring on this teaser, including qualifiers? Nine Celtic or Rangers players have been sent off in Europe since 21-22. You've got Daizen Maeda, Gustav Lagerbielka, and Odin Thiago Holm.
Robin Proper.
Last night, of course, that's four.
Morelos.
No.
Balogun.
Nope. I'm getting vibes that you're just throwing names now.
Yes, you're correct.
So yeah. Absolutely. But to be fair, the rest of them you remembered specifically.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Go again on Rangers. There's one high profile European sending off that you could certainly say was pretty damaging, considering what was at stake and when it came and so on. What competition are Rangers playing in this season?
Europa League.
What competition are they not playing in this season then? Therefore,
Champions League.
Okay. As a result of...
The Zagreb game?
No.
Hefty?
Yes. Your working was wrong, but you got there. Dynamo Kiev.
Yeah.
We'll get the rest of the answers when we return as well. So do please keep those calls coming in on 01419511025. You can tweet us. Still plenty of time. We'd like to delve into that battle for the top six, or maybe even the Championship as well. So keep those calls coming. Just one to mark your card. I've been telling you about this all week. I'm sure Hugh's probably seen this before. I'll be interested. Tommy Burns, a play which celebrates the life of the great man, is back. I think many people would know the story about growing up in the Carlton, playing for and managing the club he loves. But to those who don't, you would be in for a treat. So it covers all sorts, from professional and personal life. An amazing play, and I'm sure lots of you would find a good night out, good entertainment there. So following four hugely successful runs, the Tommy Burns story back for a final time, King's Theatre, 11th and 12th of July this summer. And you can get your tickets at atgticket.com/Glasgow.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. 0141 951 1025. How's that teaser looking? Nine Celtic or Rangers players sent off in Europe since 21-22. You don't have to go back very far. Robin Proper is one of them. Daizen Maeda, Jeffy, Odin Thiago Holm, Gustav Lagerbielka. You've got four to get, and they are all earlier than the ones that you've given. So you've got the five most recent.
Glenn Kamara?
Yes, against Sparta Prague, of course. There was a lot going on around those times when those sides met. So you've only got three to get. We'll give you plenty of thinking time. We've got a big game about to kick off in the Championship, Hugh, because similar-ish to the top flight, Falkirk can win the league this weekend,
yeah,
but they need other results. So if they take care of business against Ayr tonight, they're then waiting to see if Livy slip up tomorrow. Livy are going down to Capello to take on Morton, and at that point Falkirk would be champions.
Tomorrow's a fabulous day, but first of all they have to get John McGlynn has to get this out of the way. Scott Brown will take them all the way, but John McGlynn, obvious contender for manager of the year. What a job he has done, and back-to-back promotions just be sensational.
Well, that's the thing. There's a different, then, if we're talking about bars and criteria, Scott Allen, yeah, I'm sure Falkirk would like to do it at the earliest possible convenience, but they're not really going to care. In the grand scheme of things, they're coming up, they're coming to the Premiership. It's going to be back-to-back promotions, and that's an outstanding achievement, whether it's this weekend or not.
Outstanding achievement, because most of that team was built in League One, obviously taking players who had maybe been at bigger clubs as younger players and maybe not had the careers they'd wanted to at the clubs. He's took them there. He's gave them a platform to go and play, a style of play as well. For me, by far the best football side in the Championship, and thoroughly deserved to come up. I'm actually really looking forward to seeing what type of players they would attract in the summer, because you speak around Scottish football, nobody can speak highly enough of John McGlynn in terms of the style of play as well. So it's all looking good for Falkirk, but a tough game tonight away to Ayr.
Looking at the size of the crowd, Scott, terrific. You know, the stand's well occupied.
Pitch looks bobbly, doesn't it?
Yeah,
but it's that time of the year.
Mind you, what about McDermott Park last Sunday?
Yeah,
there's bobbly.
It does make such a difference, doesn't it, Scott? It's easy for us, me and Hugh, to sit in here and say, yeah, you just got to get on with it, which you do, but it's a bit of a game changer.
In terms of the bobbly pitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, no question. Listen, you can't zip the ball about the way you want. You can't sometimes receive the ball as clean as you would like, but listen, it's the same for for both teams. But when you have that style of play where everything's round the sort of passes you play to get you into good areas, it can be difficult. But listen, a lot of these players have grown up in Scotland. I'm sure they've played in a lot worse.
There was a first corner from Falkirk straight out of the Bilbao playbook last night. Just fired it straight at the first defender. Falkirk on the attack early on, but nothing really doing as it's cleared the way. It just feels like, Hugh, you can't take your eyes off. I'm going to start with the Championship tonight as we round off, because tomorrow, like we said, we watch Morton Livy to see if the league title can be decided. I mean, pick a game out of our own Mark Wilson. Partick Thistle have now only got a 3-point cushion in the playoff place. They're at home to Hamilton Accies, who really, really need something because they're in eighth. Below them is Dunfermline in ninth, who go to Queen's Park, who are having an absolute nightmare and all sorts happening
there. Queen's
Park
have to win.
Eight defeats in a row for Queen's Park now. Yeah. I think they're doomed with a capital D. John
they
Rankin
might just have enough games, though, when you look at it. You know, they're 6 points above Airdrie.
John Rankin, you know, shocked Neil Lennon last weekend. Lenny, since he went to Dunfermline, up, down, up, down. So the whole day tomorrow, the Premiership and the Championship, I'm glad we're on for 6 hours. It's going to be 6 hours of top class entertainment.
A Broth can win the league as well tomorrow.
Yep.
That's right, yeah.
In League One.
I don't think we have to rehash the league reconstruction debate at this stage on a Friday night, but what an advert it is for the split tomorrow.
Yeah.
So Motherwell play Hearts.
Amazing.
They are currently 6th and 8th respectively. So Hearts are in the driving seat. So it's pretty simple for Hearts. Win the game, they will finish top 6. If Motherwell beat Hearts, they are then relying also on St Mirren not winning, because St Mirren have a fairly good goal difference advantage over Motherwell. So one of those, it's the classic day. If you're at St Mirren, you're keeping an ear out to hear what's happening elsewhere.
See, you'll be out in the fresh air tomorrow playing football, Scott.
Fresh air is the islands for me tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be in the studio with two Motherwell fans. The thing, I've bought a nice pasta to have during the programme, but I've also bought a big bottle of Calpol for the two of them in case the two Gordons get overexcited. And Big Marvin will just laugh at the two of them. So I'll need to act as the grown-up.
I think that'll add to the occasion.
I think you'll find there's only one of us that's actually emotionally invested.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think there's much that bothers the other one when it comes to these things. But anyway.
Are you confident in Motherwell tomorrow?
No, not particularly. No. Well, I'm just not sure enough to be confident in them. Got an okay home record against Hearts. But I think that's what's fascinating about the split this year. Traditionally, you want into it. You get your extra game against the big teams. That brings you more money. You get a real crack at Europe. But I think for Motherwell, as an example, and maybe St Mirren to a point, but even though they're leveling points, I still feel like they're in a bit of a better space. It's the best way to guarantee your safety is by clinching that top six spot. Because if you don't, you're then really in the mix. There are only 4 points between 11th and 7th. 5 points between 11th and 6th. So actually, first and foremost, the best way of guaranteeing that you're not in the relegation scrap is just make sure you make the top six.
I wonder if the atmosphere might have a galvanising effect, because Hearts will bring a huge support.
Yeah.
Motherwell fans will turn out big time. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it might galvanise the Motherwell players, because the pressure for me is on Neil Critchley and Hearts. Because Neil Critchley will get
they're
it.
They're the ones
neck.
Who would get more stick, obviously, with the size of the club. Yeah. The great thing for St Mirren is then, well, not great things, it can obviously go in numerous ways, but they're at home to Ross County. They can watch this on, you know, Hearts and Motherwell might draw and then St Mirren can sneak up. Motherwell might win and if St Mirren take care of their business. But then how are you supposed to predict that bit of the league? This is the same St Mirren team that absolutely demolished Kilmarnock and then went and lost to Dundee, so...
Yeah.
Dundee though have been starting games really well. I'm looking at that Hibs Dundee game, and I think that could be a potential.
So you're not as confident as the form guide would suggest.
No, just I've seen quite a bit of Dundee over the last few weeks, and they've been starting games really well. I think Hibs' record's been incredible under David Gray, and for me, it would still be huge favourites to finish third. But I just feel that there's a bit of trepidation with that game. So.
And trepidation is called Simon Murray.
Yeah, Simon Murray.
He's fantastic for Dundee. 33 years old, doesn't matter.
Joint top scorer in the Premiership.
Incredible, isn't it, really?
He's a force of nature, and that's what David Gray will have to be careful of. But I think perhaps Hibs have turned a corner in that respect. That, you know, they went to Ibrox and you think, well, you know, the bubble will burst, and they actually dominated Rangers and won the match comfortably.
So one loss in 19.
That's unbelievable. How do you think that will finish then, the top six?
I'm sorry to say, I think Hearts will beat Motherwell and that'll be that.
I don't mind it. I'm not offended by it.
I'm the same. Yeah, I seen Hearts last week against Dundee United, and up until the James Wilson sending off, I felt they were by far the better side.
So that's the straightforward version then, because there's nothing St Mirren or anyone else can do about it.
That's why I said they're like cup finals tomorrow. Celtic Kilmarnock's like a cup final. Beat Kilmarnock, you could be champions tomorrow. Hearts, beat Motherwell, you're top six, and nobody else matters. Cup finals.
It's great, because you then start looking at other results though as well. So if it plays out the way you do think, and Motherwell don't make the top six and St Mirren don't make the top six, fans of both of those teams are saying, right, Celtic, don't you slip up, make sure you beat Kilmarnock. Also Hibs, listen, we've given up, we know we can't catch you, so you make sure you beat Dundee. You start doing all that in your head, don't you?
But all the teams have so much to play for. They're all fighting for their lives here, for different things. That's why every game has so much pressure on it for both sides. Listen, even looking at that third spot and what it means for Aberdeen, Hibs and Dundee United, who are all obviously going for it, for that. These games when the split comes are going to be massive.
Right, 9 Celtic or Rangers players sent off in Europe since 21-22. Proper, Maeda, Jeffty, Odin, Thiago Holm, Blagger, Bielka, Glenn Kamara, 3 to get.
Scales?
Nope. There was one. I feel like he probably got sent off a couple of times in Europe for Celtic. Maybe I'm being unfair. It's just I feel like he had a few red cards in his time. Not there anymore. Always ended up coming in and playing the European qualifiers, so that might help you. He was a midfielder, but he often found himself at centre back when Celtic hadn't signed one in time and the qualifiers came around. No. Israeli. Oh my goodness. Near beat on.
Oh, how have I not got that?
And 2 Rangers ones remaining. Was once sent off in an Old Firm game for a fairly wild tackle. Wasn't shy.
Ryan Jack?
No. Not same position. Not there anymore. Scouser.
Lundstrom.
And the last one against Napoli, Champions League. Remember it? No. Anyone? American? James Sands.
Oh, James Sands.
Oh, we have to go. GBX is up next. 6-hour special tomorrow, starting at noon. See you then.